The League of Legends betting podcast is brought to you by my patrons at patreon.com/gelatilol. There you can find bonus content like in-depth articles on macro trend analysis and league previews, as well as thoughts on breaking news and the podcast picks before the show is released to platforms. You also get to support your creators more directly. patreon.com/gelatilol. That's G-E-L-A-T-I-L-O-L. Good day in the morning. It is currently the wee hours of the morning. The sun is not even up. It's currently about 3:40 a.m. Eastern on Monday, April 8th. We do have an LEC match this morning / afternoon between Fnatic and Vitality. We're going to get to that in a moment, but I first wanted to go over the Eastern slate and the LEC match from yesterday because there was a lot of interesting things to talk about. First of all, T1 Damwon was maybe the least interesting of these series. T1 or like John Wick style, I'm back, I'm thinking I'm back. That they just completely shit stomped Damwon. I do think for what it's worth that it was kind of a bad series from D plus Kia. I keep calling them Damwon. It's interchangeable. It's the same team to me. They had a pretty poor day and T1 looked a lot more like they normally would. So we kind of got the opposite of what we had just seen from both. We had just seen a great series from D plus, and we had just seen maybe the worst series we've seen all year from T1. And it double swings back the other way, and we got a 3-0 shit stomping from T1. I don't have too much else to say about that. I was a little bit bummed, but it is what it is. We'll see what can happen moving forward here. I'm going to have more thoughts on the LCK later on this week. LPL, this match was very interesting. We had Top Esports and JDG, and I don't think anybody saw this result coming. Now, that said, this is a classic case of context and that the games themselves, or the series result doesn't tell the full story here. The first two games in this series were incredibly, incredibly competitive. Both of them were basically even gold through 20 to 25 minutes and could have gone either way. It was just neck and neck, like very evenly fought out. I think both teams had great scaling in both situations. Both teams were playing magnificent macro games, I thought, anyway. Top was just a little bit better. That was really all it came down to. And then the third game actually was just a blowout, like a Top Esports blowout. But this was a remarkably close series. I was extremely impressed. This is the kind of series you want to see these are the kinds of games you want to see from the elite teams when they face off against each other. Unfortunately, the coin flipped heads a couple times here, and the two close games ended up both going to Top. And then this ended up being a 3-0, and it kind of feels like we got robbed of a great, potentially great, like five-game series. This had the intensity level and the feel of a finals, and the results just didn't end up giving us a full series. We just got two incredibly competitive games and then one blowout. These two teams are very, very good. The Elite Three are so, so clearly better than everybody else in this league. It's not even funny. And, I mean, maybe we've talked about FunPlus, but, you know, maybe they're not quite ready yet. And unfortunately, we're not going to see them again, so it doesn't matter at this point. But the Elite, like JDG, Top Esports, and Bilibili are miles better than the next best teams in this league. And it was just a drastic, drastic increase in the quality of play. What's wild about this is that if you look at like the game grade system that I have, like, again, it's not perfect. It's just quantitative and it's primarily economy based. But these were like some of the lowest graded games from Top Esports this season. And they still 3-0'd. I don't think they were like bad games from them, but it just goes to show you how ridiculous of a team Top Esports have been this season. I think like what Top and Bilibili are doing from a statistical profile perspective is unbelievable. It's like approaching like top five teams of all time, both at the same time. So it's, you know, we got a lot of season left, and we've seen teams that do really, really insane things in spring and then kind of come back down to earth as everybody else catches up. But enjoy it while you got it here, because this has been extremely entertaining. It was a really, really good first two games. And unfortunately, Top, you know, for our entertainment purposes, Top won both of them. I didn't have a position in this. I leaned Top Esports, but didn't ultimately play anything. I have a feeling we're going to get a rematch here. It's certainly possible we do. I kind of hope we do, but really any of the matchups between these top three teams is just going to be a pleasure to watch, so enjoy that for what it was. Then we had G2 and BDS, and good Lord, was this a series. So I ended up watching this with my friend Rob. Actually, we went over and put it up on the big screen at his place, so I was watching this completely, just attention on it, chilling with the boys, like, watching this, right? And this series turned into an absolute circus, like, in a good way. G2 introduced this, like, they just introduced lane swaps. We, like, time warped back to 2016. It was, like, the most insane thing. And we got, maybe not 2016, it was, like, 2017, 2018 is when they, like, finally did away with that stuff, I'm pretty sure. But, like, actually, no, it was, like, 2019, 2020, I think, is when they did away with it. I forget the exact years. I've been doing this for a long time. Anyway, they introduced lane swaps back into it. And it was really, really cool because they blind-picked Sion into Adam. And when they did that, I literally said to my buddy, I said, they're not doing a lane swap, are they? Like, why would they blind Sion? Like, why would they blind Sion against Adam, who plays Darius, who plays all the Olaf, who plays all this, like, random tank spanking nonsense? Why would they do this? And it was like a mind game, and they baited them into doing it, and just completely, like, I'm gonna give some props to BDS, because I actually think being jumped by this, they handled it very, very well. There was some commentary on Twitter that was talking about how they had an inkling that it was a thing, because they thought that was so bizarre and out of left field that, like, it was a possibility. The second game in this series was, like, was it the second game that was the third game that was, like, the complete obliteration where, like, G2 had, like, a 10K lead at 20 minutes and probably could have won that in under 20 minutes. But the second game, so they did the lane swap in the first game. They just basically abused, they wanted to get Jinx away from the Ash Varus lane and abuse the fact that they had a low resource jungler. They did the same idea. I might be mixing up the bottom lanes. I'm doing this off the cuff without my notes, so forgive me if I'm mixing these games up. But BDS clawed back what was looking like it was well on its way to another blowout in game two. They were they were down massive early and just fought and clawed this game back. I was honestly shocked when they won game two. Like, it was the goal graph for that game is something to behold. It's an absolute riot. It looks like a heart monitor, so check that one out. But they clawed back game two. Game three was the G2 blowout where they had, like, the Zac top and they got away from the Ash Varus lane, or they got the Jinx away from it, and then just, like, snowballed this game. They won, like, 24-3 in a game that probably could have ended in, like, 18 or 19 minutes. Game four, very, very competitive, super back and forth, highly entertaining, absolute slobber knocker of a game that I actually thought G2 were on their way to losing. I thought BDS were in pretty good shape in this one too, with the setup that they had, and specifically, like, who got fed in that game. And then G2 are just too good. It's insane. Like, G2 are just way too good. Like, they G2 are never out of a game. It's unbelievable. Like, I was saying to my buddy, like, this team does everything well. They do everything. They can carry through every role. They can play every style. They have all these weird, goofy curveballs. They have these pocket picks for every player. They're just such a nightmare to prepare for, and they're so experienced and they're so disciplined that, like, rarely do they clown around or make mistakes when it actually matters. Most of the time when they screw up, it's like it's after the game's well and over, and sometimes they've thrown games, but, like, G2 are world class. I was telling him, like, I think G2, I would take G2 heads up, I think, against all of the LPL teams that aren't the Elite Three, and I'm pretty sure I would take them straight up against D+ and G2 would be an interesting matchup. I'll put it that way. Like G2, D+, G2, KT, Rolster, I think would be very, very interesting matches. I think they're weird enough and good enough at snowballing games that they could probably give Hanwha trouble. I don't know if I want to put them on the elite tier with, like, JDG, Bilibili, Top, you know, T1, Gen G, but I think these other teams they can hang with. This is a world-class team, folks. This is really, really good. And that should really make what you saw from BDS today even more impressive. I thought, you know, this is a young team. There's not a, I mean, they have a couple veterans, but like, this is a relatively young team when it comes to like the scope of the entirety of League of Legends. A lot of these players were not playing professionally when like lane swapping was a thing. And I want to give props to the coaching staff for BDS for actually like giving them the proper adjustments in this. So like the game three blowout, like the 24-3 win, a lot of it was just blown out by, like, honestly, it was like kind of like a little bit lucky. It was genius, but also lucky on the side of G2 because BDS did everything right. They actually invaded, got the deep ward into the lane to see who was swapping to top, but they just barely missed spotting Broken Blade going top. And then that resulted in the 3v2 cheese. And then that blew the game open. And that was like the bad, bad start that happened in that game. It was like a second away from spotting him. It was that close of a margin. And they really, like, if you were BDS, you probably felt just cheesed in that game because you did everything you were supposed to do and it just didn't work. But there was a lot of mind gaming. It threw me back to a time. So a lot of people hated the lane swap meta because you had this like goofy, a lot of games just turned into this goofy handshake where like both teams would take the top outer and bot outer and bot top inner and bot inner. And they would just handshake and both take towers, feed the carries up, and then the game would start. So you just had like 10 minutes of the game where like nothing was happening. And, you know, the top laners usually were just getting screwed. And it was like a weird, people didn't like that because the games frequently ended up not that bloody. It ended up being like the same kind of thing every game. Like on its surface, it looked that way. Underneath, there was so much going on. There was so much mind gaming and strategies, and it felt more like a fighting game than anything else. Like, as weird as that is to say, like the strategy wise, like throwing jukes and throwing stuff that your opponent's not expecting and mixing up your patterns and, you know, kind of like poker, I guess, with like range and poker, like mixing up your range and may not being predictable, basically. There's a lot of that to this, but in order to start doing all of that kind of stuff, you needed to be like a certain baseline of good and be able to follow the flow chart for like what you're supposed to do, what the other team is supposed to do in a certain situation. And you need to be able to perfectly manage all of that. And it was so complex and so cool and just interesting, even if it was like boring on the surface, there was just so much to it. And it was really fascinating. I don't think we're going to just magically go back to lane swaps. They interviewed the G2 guys after this game and they were talking about it and saying like, oh, well, we just kind of wanted to throw a curveball at them because they're a young team. And, you know, most of us had done this before and we thought it would be interesting for a playoff series. You have to keep in mind, too, G2 didn't need this. They're already going to MSI. This is mostly just to clinch a higher seed, like directly into the bracket at MSI and to, or the main event, rather. And then, you know, there's prize money for winning the split. But, like, so they're kind of playing with house money, but this kind of stuff is, like, why I think this team is so good because they're not just, like, resting on their laurels. They're pushing boundaries. They're testing stuff. If anything, this kind of thing is going to make their opponents better, and their opponents being better makes them better. And that's what you want to see from a world-class team. You want to see them like pushing, testing things, right? Not always like screwing around, but like this was calculated. They had a reason for doing this. Really, like they said this in the post-game. Like they were like, we don't think Adam can play resourceless. That was like essentially what they said. Like BDS give Adam a lot of resources, and they were just like, I want to see how he does without any resources. And it turns out it worked very, very well. And Adam struggled, and you could tell he was visibly frustrated because on a professional stage, this is something he's never dealt with. You know, like this is, he's never dealt with being completely taken out of a game like this before. He looked a little bit tilted. There were a lot of hands and, you know, face in hands moments for BDS in this series, but the way they played on the Rift, I thought was actually incredible for a team that had never seen this, to like take that curveball and adjust. And I thought the coaching staff did a great job helping them adjust. It wasn't enough. You know, you're also playing against a world-class team and having to deal with this. Like, it's a lot. I can't explain enough. Like, I was incredibly impressed with BDS today. Like, I was very, very impressed with BDS and how they handled all this stuff because that's a lot. Like, you're not playing the same League of Legends anymore. This is grandfather League of, this is like your grandfather's League of Legends. It's not the same game that the kids these days are playing. And I thought it was just a really, really cool, fascinating series. There was a lot going on. I could talk a lot more about it, but I don't want to talk your ears off. And it was just really, really cool to kind of have a bit of a throwback to that. And I thought seeing a young team adjust and adapt to that as well as they did, even though they lost and there were moments that they looked really, really dumb, seeing them do a lot of the things and like problem solve that as they were going and actually being competitive and almost forcing a game five in this series was remarkable to me. So props to BDS. G2 is a wagon. That's no surprise. But this was a super interesting series. I hope everyone gets to watch it. And if you haven't, this is one that I would strongly recommend not watching highlights for. Like, watch the whole thing. Watch the whole thing, or at least watch the opening 15 minutes in all of these games, because, man, oh, man, it's like, it was a blast from the past. It was wild. It was very, very cool. Yeah, so very interesting. Terrible, terrible betting day, but we're not going to talk about that because, you know, we had a good weekend overall. And this was just so interesting that I almost didn't care. Anyway, moving on to tomorrow. It's going to be quite difficult to top the interesting level of that last series, but just in terms of like how it happened, but I think in terms of competitiveness and how evenly these teams are matched, I think this match is going to be a banger. We have Fnatic -199 on the money line. I'm going to just tell you before I finish reading all of this stuff that there are some drastically different lines depending on where you're shopping. So make sure you're looking around depending on which side you want in this one. There's not quite an ARB opportunity, but it's pretty close. That's how much of a divergence in price we're getting in this series. So, you know, however you feel about this, get yourself the best number if possible. Fnatic -199 on the money line, -1.5 Mavs at +101, -2.5 +328 against Team Vitality +162 on the money line. The +1.5 Mavs at -122, +2.5 is at -438, -1.5 is at +376, and the sweep for the Dogs at +1028. Fnatic won both of the regular season matchups, the one in winter and the one in spring. The spring matchup was a bit of a weird open. They had to come back from a very, very large deficit. I'm pretty sure they were down like 5K gold in that game and came back and won. So yeah, that's the head-to-head matchup. We've only seen, this is another situation, we've only seen two games, you know, in this matchup for the year. You know, we're into April now. It's a little bit odd, but, you know, the way the format goes in the LEC, sometimes you'll see up to, like, 10 games between teams. Other times you might only see two. So, haven't seen too much of these two teams, but the one that happened this season was competitive. Both these teams have been excellent this season. I think Fnatic treading water, maybe progressing a little bit. I think they've been a little tiny bit more stable in spring, more solid. Vitality have just been like the glow up. They're the Mad Lions this season. They're the ones that are, I think they're legitimately have a case for, I mean, I'm not going to call them the second or third best team, but I think that they have, to me right now, as they're currently playing, they have joined a tier with Fnatic and BDS. I do think Fnatic are the number two team. I do think they're the best of that tier, just because, kind of like, until we're proven otherwise, numbers wise, they still rate out as the second best team. I think their overall quality, just like eye test, I think they are the second best. I think you can make a case for BDS. But the main point I want to emphasize here is that these two teams are a lot more similar than I think people realize. Similar economies. They both have excellent Dragon Control. They both rank first and second in Dragon Control, by the way. They have very similar win-loss and lead deficit analysis profiles. Like, they lead in about the same. They both lead in about 65% of their games. They both win. Well, the percentage that they win at 20 is a little bit different. 76% of games with a lead at 20 closed out by Fnatic, 76% closing rate, and then a 66% closing rate for Vitality. Both of them have significant leads at 20, around 26%. Both have similar quality loss rates, similar significant deficit rates. Vitality are a little bit better on blue side, just percentage-wise. But other than that, like everything else, like all the performance measures and everything, all very, very similar. These two teams are a lot more evenly matched than it looks. I think you can give a bump to Fnatic for just like qualitative reasons and because they have side choice. They've also gotten to see, you know, these two teams have gotten to see each other. So it's not like in the LPL where we have buys and there's an advantage from that perspective. But you know, these two teams are very evenly matched. And if you want to give a bump, like give a slight bump to Fnatic for being Fnatic, essentially, and then Fnatic for having side choice, I could see this maybe getting to the market price, but I don't quite get there. The models made this closer. In my head, I think the way these two are playing right now, I think it's closer. I do give the edge to Fnatic. I just don't think this price is warranted. I actually am going to play Vitality here. And if you would have told me this a few weeks ago, I would have called you crazy. But the fact is, this Vitality have been excellent this season. They're very, very good. And, you know, we've seen them take games off of, like, BDS and G2. They haven't taken a series, but they've taken games off of them. And I think we're getting a pretty good price here. I think they could break the streak and, you know, get a best-of series against these teams. I think they have the capability. They have the chops to do it. So, no derivative plays for me. Nothing on the kills, especially after what we saw yesterday. I doubt we're going to see anything that wild and wacky in this series. But I don't know. Like, these two teams have wild combined kill games. Like, they both have insanely high combined kill, you know, per minute. And even against the good teams, they do. But the totals are set appropriately high. Like, the totals for this game are, let me see what it was. I believe they're set at 29.5. It's 28.5 juiced over. So, like, if you want to take overs, I would just ladder. Like, I would go, like, up to, like, 30.5, 31.5, take the plus money. But, like, because if these games are going to be fiestas, they're going to be fiestas. But Vitality have toned it down a tiny little bit, but these could go off the rails. I just don't think we're going to land in that area a lot. We're either going to go way over or we're going to go way under. So I would play almost like a straddle rather than just playing a straight over-under on, like, whatever the even money, like, the even money adjacent spread is or total is. I would look for alts on either side over that. I did play the Vitality side here. I played Vitality plus 1.5 maps. I'm doing a map spread ladder here. So Vitality plus 1.5 maps at minus 122 for 1.22 units. That's to win one. Vitality on the money line plus 162 for 0.5 units. Vitality minus 1.5 maps at plus 376 for 0.2 units. And Vitality minus 2.5 maps, the sweep at plus 1,028 for 0.1 units. I just think you're getting a good enough price, and they're playing well enough right now that I think you can. I think this is a good spot. I don't like fading the good teams like this, but Vitality are playing very, very well right now. I think it's possible that we're seeing, like, the best that we've seen from this team. It's not like they're inexperienced, like, as a team, but as players, they are not inexperienced. Most of these guys have seen a whole lot of League of Legends, a whole lot of high-leverage games, so it's not like I think they're going to have playoff jitters or anything like that. So I like Vitality quite a bit here. I think the price is right. It's not like a super hammer, slam dunk, mega play or anything like that. I just think the price is good enough to get involved with the dogs, and I think we're going to see a close competitive series on Monday afternoon. That's going to be it for me. I hope everyone has a good one. And just a little bookkeeping here. There's no matches on Tuesday, and there's only one LPL match on Wednesday, unless I'm misremembering that. I'm going to double-check that. Probably won't have a podcast tomorrow. I probably won't have a Patreon post until Tuesday afternoon either. So one here for me. It's not that I've gone anywhere, but there's not a whole lot going on this week. Just LPL, basically, until the weekend. Then we'll get the LCK Losers Finals and Grand Finals, and then the LEC as well. So winding down a little bit. It's going to get a little bit more sparse. There's not going to be a bajillion games every day. But we have MSI coming up shortly after this. We'll have a couple weeks of downtime, and then we'll be prepped for our first international tournament of the year, and that's going to be a lot of fun as well. I'll be doing content for that here as usual. All right, that's going to be it for me. Everyone have a good one, and enjoy the match tomorrow.